No, you're good.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to On Point with Rachel Turgeman. I'm so glad you can join us tonight. My friends, grieving at any point in our lives is inescapable. Feelings like shock, disbelief, panic, and anxiety are all, unfortunately, too familiar for all of us. The great news in the midst of such sadness is that Catholic Hospice is here for us, providing quality, compassionate care. We are not alone. Joining us tonight is Dr. Rochelle Clark. She's a Director of Organizational Integration and Patient Experience at Catholic Hospice. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she counsels consistently all the time people that have been diagnosed with a terminal illness and their family members. She is simply fantastic. Dr. Clark, welcome. Welcome to On Point with Rachel Turgeman. Thank you so much, Doctor, for taking time out of your very, very busy calendar to be here with us tonight. Your work is truly irreplaceable.
Rachel, thank you so much for having me. And on behalf of Catholic Hospice, we're so grateful for the work that you do in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. We belong to a mutual admiration fan club, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Dr. Clark, I want to have a front and center conversation with you regarding your efforts in leading the psychosocial spiritual team at Catholic Hospice. Why? Whether you're dealing with self-care or death or grief or loss or trauma, you, Dr. Clark, are there all the time for everyone. Congratulations again. Now, before we begin, I would like our viewers to get to know you better. How's that?
That sounds great.
Okay, so let's begin with where were you born?
I was born in New York.
I'm a New Yorker.
Are you?
Yes.
Nice. Yes. I was born in Queens.
You were born in Queens. And what about your parents? What are some of your ancestry? Talk to us.
Okay. Well, both of my parents are immigrants. They came here from Jamaica.
Like all of us, right?
Right.
All of us are immigrants.
Yes.
That's so a good thing.
Yes. I'm a firstborn American. My parents... The motto in Jamaica is out of many, one people. So they're very diverse in their ethnicity. So our mixture is there's Indian, there's Moroccan, there's Portuguese, there's British. That's a little
bit. That's awesome. The United Nations all in one package. Dr. Rochelle Clark, here I am.
Right.
That's beautiful. Okay, so let's talk a little bit, Dr. Clark, about your upbringing. Mm-hmm. Does any teachable moments come to your mind when you were growing up about the cycle of life? Talk to us.
Yes. So it's so interesting. Throughout the course of growing up, I didn't really have many experiences with death and dying and things like that. However, when I was about 12 years old, one of my mom's dearest friends, who we considered an aunt, that's in our culture, close friends are considered an aunt or an uncle. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. And as a child, I wasn't sure what that meant. She would be around us sometimes for treatments and other times she'd be really sick. Over the course of time, she became gravely ill and she passed away. And when she passed away, I think it was really intense only because I wanted to go to see what that was like. I wasn't quite sure what that meant. And my parents did not think that it was appropriate for a child to go to a funeral. And so I was unable to have the opportunity or the closure at 12 years old. So that would be my first experience with the death of someone significant.
And it was like somewhat taboo, right, Dr. Clark? Like you couldn't really talk about it. And the same thing in our family. You know, I'm also Jewish for Jesus. And I find that in my family, you know, we really didn't talk too much about death either. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to personally thank you and Catholic Hospice right up front, because unfortunately, I lost my brother Dr. Isaac Turgeman, it's been very, very difficult for my family and for myself, of course, to deal with these very difficult times. And thanks to you, to Jessica Joseph, to your entire team, I ended up calling your bereavement line, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. And it really, really helped me, because when you lose somebody, and you know this, doctor, and all our viewers, I'm sure, can relate to this, because we all know somebody, whether in our families or friends, we have all lost somebody that's very dear to our hearts. It is truly unbearable pain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, getting back to you, doctor, when did you decide to dedicate your studies to addressing mental health issues? Tell
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm. So, Rachel, first, I want to say my deepest condolences to you and your family. And thank you for sharing, because sometimes, like you said before, depending on our culture, we don't talk about grief and we don't talk about loss. So I'll continue to keep your family in my thoughts.
Thank you.
I stumbled into wanting to do, you know, anything related to mental health. It really came about from, I'm the mother of one child, and he was born with a congenital craniofacial abnormality. And so he experienced 7 surgeries over the course of his life.
Wow. God bless him. What a courageous little boy.
I know.
God bless him. God bless him.
He is. And so throughout that time, I had to put up my child, you know, for a 50-50 surgery. And while I had a great team of physicians and they were truly interdisciplinary, I didn't feel like there was someone that was able to speak to me and my needs and some of what I was going through. And so with all the experiences, I just realized that perhaps my life experiences might be useful in the context of mental health. And so I was propelled into this career because of what some might say was an unfortunate situation, but I say that God doesn't make any mistakes. And so I feel like it was a blessing. And so that's what led me to where I am now.
Well, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure those were very difficult times for you. And you could really appreciate now, I'm sure, Dr. Clark, and I'm sure that all our viewers will agree with me, all the work that you do at Catholic Hospice and counseling, bereavement, illnesses. You know, you can relate to that. And the fact that you had dedicated your studies in dealing with mental health issues. I know also that you are licensed in marriage and family as well. And you also are licensed to counsel healthcare professionals. Mm-hmm. So that is truly, truly remarkable. Mm-hmm. Now take us to your career journey, your amazing career journey. Tell us, where have you been?
All right. So I started off my journey in hospitality. And absolutely loved everything about it.
Well, why am I not surprised? Because you love, you know, I can see you have excellent interpersonal skills. So I'm not surprised you chose that career at first.
Thank you. So I was a late bloomer when it came to going to school. So when I finished school, I decided, you know what, it might be nice for me to go ahead and use this degree. And so I started working at the American Heart Association. And when I was working there, I met someone, because we did like the heart walk and things like that at that site. And so when I met with her, I always said, you know, I'd love to go back to school. And she's like, you know what, when something comes available, I'm going to give you a call. And so said, so done. And so I entered into academia, and it allowed me and afforded me the opportunity to go back to school. And then when I was completing my dissertation, I thought there's no way anybody's going to hire me unless I have some sort of clinical experience. And then I saw the opportunity here at Catholic Hospice. And so it's just been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I tell people that I started with hospitality, did nonprofit, then did academia, and now in healthcare. And they're like, it's so different. And I'm like, is it? Because throughout the career, it's always been connecting people to things that they're passionate about, or connecting people to experiences. So it's no different at hospice. We're still connecting people, and we're still making sure that their experiences are one that's filled with quality, compassion, and empathy.
Outstanding. You also have a master's in human resources
management. I do. I do. Okay.
And again, that shows the love that you have for people, communication, expressing your feelings, hearing other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just started from the, you know, from your studies and worked yourself up, but you had all the skills, you know, that which is amazing. And you're also an expert, from what I understand, Dr. Clark, in geriatrics enhancement programs, workforce.
Yes, at NSU. Just teaching or just talking about some of the difficulties that people in the geriatric community are facing and how those experiences have been so different throughout the last year and a half with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to bereavement process. You are in charge of the bereavement program at Catholic Hospice. Mm-hmm. That being said, you have helped thousands and thousands of people during these most difficult times than anybody and everybody could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. What does that entail, doctor? Talk to us.
Wow. So with Catholic Hospice, we have such a unique bereavement program. Most of our bereavement team are trained marriage and family therapists or their social workers. And their role is to identify anyone who's experiencing complicated or anticipatory grief, so that we believe that the grieving starts the moment someone gets a terminal diagnosis or the moment someone hears that their person is terminal. And so if the person is alert and oriented, we really want to make sure that we're there with them. We're talking them through this process. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to go from living in our society where we're always talking about how do we enhance our health? How do we, you know, preserve life, to having to come to terms with, due to your illness and its progression, you are now writing the last few pages of the chapters of your book. And so we really work with the patients. And then we also follow people after their person has passed away, because it's really difficult to try to maneuver a life that you've always known in a world absent someone who's been physically with you. So
that
we
is
really
so
help
true.
Through that process.
That is so true. And that's why I love your program so much. Mm-hmm. Because whether people enroll in your program or not, that bereavement line that you have is so important. It's, my friends, all our viewers, I want you to know that the bereavement program that Catholic Hospice has is for everybody. You can call it. They will call you back. Somebody will talk to you. I can tell you that from firsthand experience. I mean, that extra support that you and your psychosocial team, that spiritual support, that is so invaluable. Because to me, Dr. Clark, although we know that death is a natural process of life, a natural cycle of life, if you will, it's hard. I mean, to come into acceptance with that is so hard. And like you mentioned, I miss the physicality of my brother. You know, so it's so, so difficult. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can actually talk to so many families, you know, and the patients themselves that are going through this, and there's a lot of confusion, a lot of shock, a lot of denial. I mean, there's so many things going on. What else can you tell us about your bereavement program? Talk to us.
Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, we also have it open to the community, right? And it's such a wonderful opportunity that people have. So regardless of how the person has passed away, regardless of when the person passed away, there's so many different stages that can be a trigger for many people. And so being a resource to the community is truly an honor. I mean, just think about how intimate it is when you're talking about loss and talking about grief. And so we really try to take a systemic approach, where we live in a world that tends to be very linear. So things are either this way or it's this way.
It's true.
Really,
this or this.
Exactly.
It's true.
And we try to unite people and say, no, it's both and. You can be both going through this very difficult time and allow yourself to smile. You can be both feeling distraught and totally competent to get through the day. So really enforcing that both and concept, I think it was what makes our team different. And it also is what's very helpful to people. And then Absolutely. Going on the journey with them. Who wants to be alone? You know, just letting someone know you're not the first, you're not the last. We're not experts in your life and how the grief has affected you, but we are experts in the types of questions that we're going to ask to help you process this very, very difficult loss.
You know, Dr. Clark, that's an interesting statement that you're making, because I'm still not there. I mean, my brother died about 5-6 weeks ago, and I still don't feel well. I feel like I'm walking on the air. There's moments of sadness, moments of depression. Is there any particular standard, if you will, Dr. Mm-hmm. Clark, that says that, you know, grief should be no longer than this amount of months, or it could be a year, is it different for everybody? Talk to us.
Mm-hmm. So there are some cultures that give time frames on the grief and the mourning process, and that tends to be very helpful. Other cultures don't address it as much. In my experience, it's been that everyone grieves differently. And so I can remember that, you know, my paternal grandmother, when she passed away, I remember getting a call from my dad about 6 or 7 years later. And wow. He was so distraught, and I thought something happened. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I tried to call mom and she's gone. And it hit him there for the first time. Wow. And so although it was a loss that happened years ago, it didn't hit him until then. So for him, it had just started. So in my experience, it's very different. And there's different stages that you're going to go through throughout life where it might, you know, bring back certain emotions, certain feelings. However, in time, you get to manage it a little bit more.
Well, thank you for those kind words. I know that, you know, many of our viewers perhaps at some point have lost somebody very dear to their family, in their circle, so on and so forth, friends. My family's also watching. So I want to thank you for these words, because they really touch home without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Let's take a few moments to thank all of our VIP advertisers, and we'll get right back to you. How's that? So I want to give special thanks to all our VIP advertisers, for without them, this show would not be possible. We begin with the Jose Milton Foundation. Thank you, Ana Vega Milton, President and CEO, for all the altruistic work you do. Thank you for building the new Jose Milton Memorial Hospital, Jackson Memorial Hospital West, for your amazing work with the Red Cross, scholarships for our youth, and the list goes on. Jackson Health Foundation, a big shout out to co-presidents Charmaine Gatlin, Flavia Yiso, and their stellar team for doing an outstanding job in raising funds for the best hospital throughout our nation, Jackson Health System, making miracles every day. Catholic Hospice and Catholic Palliative Care Services. A big shout out to Executive Director Diane Backoff, Medical Director Dr. Tracy Romanello, and Jessica Joseph, Manager of Philanthropy and Public Relations, and their awesome team. Thank you, as well as Dr. Clark, for preserving comfort and dignity for people that are very ill and their family members. Synovus Bank, a big shout out to Armando Trabanco, Regional Retail Manager for Southeast Florida. In business for more than 130 years, Synovus is a financial services company that came from humble beginnings in Georgia. Today, Synovus Bank is committed to supporting our communities in over 300 locations across the Southeast, including our South Florida footprint. Synovus is here for you to safely meet your banking, lending, and investing needs. Hashtag the Bank of Fear. For more information about Synovus products, services, and location, please visit www.synovus.com. United Home Care, a big shout out to Carlos Martinez, President and CEO. Another big shout out to Alina Palenzuela, Blanca Ceballos, and the rest of their stellar team. Thank you for keeping our older adults home with excellent healthcare services, because there's no place like home. Freedom Alcasan Arsadan, our Asian American healthcare hero, invites other multicultural healthcare heroes to promote unity, understanding, respect, and tolerance among all. Marie Torreson, CPA, business owners. She will grow your business exponentially with over 360 degree view of your financial and operational performance. Call and make an appointment. Global Ovid Day Seminary and University, known as GODZU, empowering entrepreneurs to become financially independent, to transcend into generational prosperity. Also earn your chaplaincy or cybersecurity certification. Contact GODZU. Meet Elisa Billiard, your corporate and personal psychologist and psychotherapist to solve your business and personal hurdles. Give her a call and effectuate positive change. Jewish University System, a big shout out to founder Dr. Jorge Alfonso and Lucy Alfonso, president and CEO. Now you can earn your doctoral degree in education or psychology with religious modifiers. contact Jewish University System, Metro Mommy Agency for all of your pregnancy support. Before, during, and after, call Metro Mommy Agency. They provide childbirth education, labor support, doulas, breastfeeding support, night nurses, and the list goes on. With Metro Mommy Agency, you can birth better and begin parenting with confidence. Light of the World Clinic, thank you, Lane Maselli Vasquez, brainchild of Light of the World Clinic, for providing free healthcare services to economically disadvantaged families in Broward County, Florida. Again, a special thank you to all of our VIP advertisers. All of your services are beyond magnificent. Dr. Clark, getting back to you, talk to us how you and your staff help so much your frontline workers in dealing with managing and coping the stress level every day in their jobs. Tell us.
Wow. You know, I think we've been really stretched thin over the last year and a half. And so what I love about our leadership team is that they've recognized the signs and recognized how difficult healthcare is and providing care to people is in these times. And so we have created a robust self-care initiative. And so we do things from taking a moment of silence when someone has passed away, to having reflection services, just to really feed the minds, the spirits, the souls of all of our employees. We make sure that we do self-care activities quarterly. We've engaged our music therapists, who do a phenomenal job working with our patients, to come in and really help us as well through different types of music modalities. And so opening our lines of communication is important so that they have access to that bereavement line too, so that our meetings, or what we refer to as our interdisciplinary meetings, are filled with the physician, the nurses, the social workers, the chaplains, the hospice aides, and everyone is coming together just to process, how are you managing? We ask, how are you managing? What's working? What do we need to do more of? What do we need to do less of? How can we make this environment one where we're also being mindful about your quality of life? Because if they're not functioning at an optimal level and they don't feel like we're serving them, then it makes the work that much more difficult. So opening our lines of communication and just really making sure that everything we give to the community and our patients and their families, that they feel that they have that too. So just blanketing everyone in love.
I love it. And it sounds like, Dr. Clark, that it's also like therapy for everybody, right? For your coworkers, for your staff, or even for you. I mean, all of you are talking about the same issues.
Yeah.
And let's face it, you know, it's not easy. We're all human beings. We're all God's children. It's very, very difficult. So I love this therapy that you provide for each other, you know, so that you can continue to move forward and continue to help thousands and thousands of people. I know that people from all over the world come to Catholic Hospice. It's not just Florida. People from Switzerland, from anywhere around the world. And I think that's beautiful because we all need this type of help. We all need this type of services. I want you to elaborate a little bit about your Camp Erin program. Isn't that what it's called? Camp Erin program.
Yes.
For the kids, talk to us.
Yes, I'm excited. So our Camp Erin is through a grant that we get from the Aluna Foundation and also through generous donors here in the community. And what it does is it provides a weekend, typically, now it's one day, filled with different activities for children between the ages of 6 and 17. And so it's open to anyone in the community. It's completely free. And at these camps, there is a ceremony where everybody comes together and they have a photo of their loved one. And so everyone is sharing so that the children know that they're not alone. And it's so remarkable to see that through process groups, through art therapy, music therapy, through pet therapy, people are able to really offload in different ways. As we talked about earlier, everyone grieves differently and everyone expresses their loss differently. So allowing the children to have that opportunity to express has been just so rewarding. And I can tell you firsthand that one of the things that has helped me was that death that I experienced when I was 12 years old. When I put her name up during one of our luminary services, and talked about her for the first time and talked about how that loss had also impacted me, because we allow whoever is volunteering to also have the opportunity. That was such a great space for me to be in. And so you also talked about when does the grieving process start or stop? And so for me in that moment, it was a chance for me to actually pay my respect to her and share who she is. You know, someone told me years ago that you die twice. You died a physical death and the last time someone says your name. So the opportunity to share with her, to share with everyone about her and who she was very important. And that's one of the other things that, you know, our team understands, so that when you're having a, when you're meeting with us, we're not just here to find out how the process is going. We also want to know, who is that person? What did they do? How did they mean to you? What lessons have they you learned from them that you can share with us? So it goes full circle.
That's beautiful. And I love what you're saying. And one of your psychosocial workers, when I called your bereavement line, you know, talked to me about that. Because when I called, I was, as you know, horrible. And I'm still not doing that great. But, you know, my family is a tremendous support system. My fiance, Dr. Alan Silber, his family as well is a tremendous support system. But like you said, it's a void. It's a void in there, right in here. It's hard, and it's here also. It's everywhere. But the fact that we can talk to your staff, your psychosocial spiritual team, means the world for us. And I also want to mention to you, Dr. Clark, your Camp Erin program is excellent. Mm-hmm. Because we all know that dealing with this subject matter is so difficult. So now, if you have little ones and you've lost a loved one, you know, to be able to deal with the little ones that you are adoring, you know that they're also hurting, but you know you're hurting as well, and it's just a total mess. So the fact that Catholic Hospice, mm-hmm. under the auspices of Diane Backoff, the director, and Jessica, your philanthropy public relations manager, you, Dr. Romanello, your medical director, I mean, all of you coming together with your chaplains, your other doctors, your nurses, aides, your other bereavement counselors, all of you coming together and helping our youth understand that this is a natural, normal process, cycle of life, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. So you touched on a little bit about our spiritual group. You know, within Catholic Hospice, we have our L'Chaim Jewish Hospice program. And very so cool. We really make sure that wherever the need is, that we're tailoring programming specific to meet those individual needs. And what I'm most proud of about our chaplain group is, regardless of whatever religion or not, you know, maybe it's, you know, a spirituality, they meet the patients and their families wherever they are in their spiritual journey. So it's not about right, wrong. Remember, we talked about that linear way. It's about, yes, where are you and how do we make sure that after meeting with one of our chaplains, you feel your spirit and your soul just rejuvenated. So that's been a really beautiful experience to see so many people of different faiths coming together and just working toward the greater good.
I love it. And your L'Chaim program under Catholic Hospice, I know that they're accredited,
yes,
under the National Institute of Jewish Hospice Programs. That's remarkable. And I guess the message here to all of our viewers that are watching, viewers, we love you, is the fact that Catholic Hospice is here for you no matter what religious beliefs you had. Mm-hmm. Dr. Clark, how critical is it, if you will, for any of our viewers that know someone or somebody in their family that's being confronted with a terminal illness to contact Catholic Hospice? Talk to us.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's critical. Hospice, yes, you have to have a diagnosis of 6 months or less. And hospice is about quality of life. To talk about death is also to acknowledge that there is a life. And so the sooner someone can come on to our services, the sooner they're going to benefit from all the things that I've talked about tonight. So they're going to benefit from our psychosocial team. They're going to benefit from having someone or a care team that's just there to create tailored treatment plans that just meets their individual needs. So we're looking at culture, we're looking at religion, we're looking at the dynamics in the family. Who are those decision makers? How many people are involved in this process? And we're really making sure that our care is tailored to each person. So for me, although it's difficult, know that if someone is faced with this diagnosis of 6 months or less, or if someone, for whatever the reason, is in a situation where they're terminal, the more support you can have to walk you through this very difficult time, why not?
Absolutely.
And we're here to embrace you.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, Dr. Clark, we're running out of time. Thank you for joining us tonight, for sharing with us the great emotional support system that Catholic Hospice has for all of us around the world, including Florida, of course. Mm-hmm. You're doing a great job. Is there a last minute message, Dr. Clark, that perhaps you would like to leave all our viewers with?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've noticed that really help our children is with the Camp Barron is to know that they're not alone. And so I think it's important that you know that you're not alone in this journey. And if you will allow yourself to be vulnerable throughout this process, we're here to meet you and to walk with you along the way.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Clark. You're doing a fantastic job. A big shout out to your amazing team. We look forward to having you back on On Point with Rachel Turgeman. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And to all of you, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Please remember to subscribe to my YouTube channel, On Point with Rachel Turgeman, and share this video with your family and friends. Remember that keeping informed and staying connected allows all of us to make the right decisions. God bless you all. Stay healthy and safe. Bye-bye for now.
No, you're good.